is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. This is kind of a wine in the umpqua program today, but taking a little different angle on it. Dr. Greg Jones in here, new CEO of Abasella Winery and Vineyards. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So talk about your background, what you've done so far professionally.
Well, I'm probably in the fourth segment of my career, which all kind of align with me coming to Abasella. In my younger days, I was a cook leading up to being a chef in a restaurant, running major restaurants up until I was about 25. Then I spent 5 years in retail, in sporting goods, owning and operating my own stores. And after that, I decided to go back to school and get my degrees. And so went and got a bachelor's and a PhD in environmental science at the University of Virginia. And then spent 25 years or so doing research and teaching and educating in colleges, both at Southern Oregon University and at Linfield University. And now I'm at Abasella.
And obviously there's a connection there with Abasella. We had a story on it earlier in the week. A lot of people probably will know, but explain it maybe if they don't.
So my father and stepmother are stepping aside, and I'm now the CEO of Abasella, coming in hopefully to do the place justice from their hard work over the past 25 years.
Now, in the research area, I want to ask you about that, because for a lot of people, research is like, you start falling asleep. People that are into research, mm-hmm. though, I found are really into it. And I'm curious about what excites you about all this research you've done over the years.
Well, when I started, I was really interested in hydrology, the study of water. And then I took a class in meteorology and climatology that really piqued my interest. And I went down the path of becoming a climatologist, studying mostly how climate affects growing agricultural crops. And about that time was when my dad was looking to get into growing grapes and making wine, and so we had this little parallel pursuit. I did my PhD on Bordeaux in France, looking at how climate influences how the vine grows, how it produces fruit, and then how that fruit carries into making a good quality wine.
So you mentioned that this research, though, does go beyond wine.
It does. I've done some work looking at other plant systems, both agricultural managed systems and natural systems. But most of what I've done is in the wine sector. I've been very, very fortunate to be able to travel to nearly every major wine region in the world and experience what they do there, work with people and colleagues in multiple different countries, and publish quite a bit on the topic.
Before Earl and Hilda got Abasella going, and back when you were in other fields altogether, were you already interested in wine?
Well, I think being in when I was a chef, I was definitely interested in, because wine is really food. It's a blended product that I think goes so well with food, and that you really have to think about how that structure works. And so I think I had an interest, but I didn't really know kind of the connections that would develop years later.
And obviously for food and wine, pairing is a big deal.
Oh, it really is. Some things really work well and some things don't. There's not a real a hard, fast rule with wine and food, but being able to understand the nuances is really important.
I know when I was just beginning to learn a few things about wine, and I was really in over my head, someone had talked about having wine by itself, but then the impact certain foods would have on it, either good or, maybe not so good. And one night, I don't even remember what the varietal was, having a glass of wine, just watching TV, and went in, scrounged a leftover piece of pepperoni pizza, took a bite of that, took a sip of the wine, and the wine tasted totally different. And it was like an epiphany went off mm-hmm. right then. Mm-hmm. I realized, this is what they're talking about.
Right. It could be the spice, it could be the oils, it could be the acids within the food and how that works with the wine. There's so many different little nuances there that are really important.
So when did you begin, because obviously all this time in higher education, when did you begin to be interested in, and maybe at some point coming to Abasella?
Well, I lived in Ashland for since 1997 to 2017. And of course, was able to come and experience what my dad and stepmother were doing. And it's been an absolute joy to watch that develop and grow. My dad and I talk a lot about everything that's going on there. My kids were able to work there in the summers, you know, and so it's been a family operation. And we've talked off and on about the potential for me to come, but this was just, it was fortuitous. It was a good timing. And I think this was just the right time.
And certainly your interest in research, your father's background as well. I noticed when I was looking at the press release making the announcement the other day, and I'm curious, I haven't asked around yet, but the fact that on the Abbasella property you have 3 weather stations, 24 temperature sensors, and 40 soil moisture probes, I suspect that maybe is a little unusual?
It is a little bit unusual. I think the vast majority of growers have at least one weather station and maybe some soil moisture probes, but we've been very keen in understanding the variation across our landscape because the landscape undulates and there's different slopes and different aspects and different soils. And so by having that many sensors, what we're able to do is really dial in how our varieties perform within individual blocks on the property.
Now, it seems like it would be an interesting time to be in the wine industry here in the Umpqua Valley, especially during your time in Ashland. You probably really saw the exponential growth in acres planted.
Sure. Back when I first came to Ashland, to Southern Oregon University, I was doing some research that was looking at where and how vineyards were planted throughout the region. And I remember doing a project where I went out and visited every vineyard. I GPSed their coordinates and took data on it. And there was a reasonable number of vineyards at that time, but now there's almost 3 to 4 times that many. And it would take me plus maybe a few assistance to get the work done today.
And talk about, and we've mentioned this over the years, but especially maybe coming from your perspective as a climatologist, about the number of varietals that can be grown because of all the microclimates.
Sure. We probably have one of the most diverse from a geographical elevation landscape perspective wine regions in the world. We have clearly identified that we can grow certain things really well, and we're playing around the edges. I know we grow at least 70 different varieties within the Southern Oregon region, including the Umpqua and the Rogue. And within that mix, there are varieties that are more French dominant, German dominant, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian. So people are playing with the varieties that they're most interested in. And people are starting to kind of hone in on what works best for them.
And I know, talking to your father a number of times over the years, Tempranillo was what really drove his wanting to have what became Abbasella, and all the research that was involved right to the exact plot of land based on a whole bunch of what I would call geeky science.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's what it took. It took us looking at climate data and characteristics of the regions that were famous for growing Tempranillo for us to hone in on it. And we, I think we found a gem within the Umpqua Valley. And it's worked really well. And I hope to be able to carry that forward myself.
So how many varietals is Abbasella working with right now?
Well, right now it's actually a little bit small, 15. When I know my father's played with as many as 24, 25. But I think he started out really looking at what can this place do? And by over time, we started finding out that some varieties didn't perform very well. So we took them out and then planted more of what did well. So we're down now to 15 varieties, which seems like a lot for many people, but it's a good mix of varieties that allow us to produce the wine styles that we really think that the market can enjoy.
And it seems like you've got a real quest for quality there, because I think some people would probably go, well, that's pretty good for that varietal, so we'll just keep doing some of that. But yet, if you guys aren't really feeling like it's where it should be, it's like, move on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dr. Mm-hmm. Greg Jones with us on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240. KQEN. Inside right, Douglas Caddy, 1247. Lars Larson coming up. Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN. Local talk on the way at 4. Still putting together Mondays inside Douglas County, but some other things planned for next week. So make sure and listen throughout the week. Dr. Greg Jones, new CEO of Avicella Winery and Vineyards, in here with us this afternoon. So you're really, sounds like, still literally moving here.
Yeah, so we're definitely still in transition. It'll take a little while for us to get settled, but very happy to be here. I think this is a great vintage that we're coming down the home stretch with, and I think we're going to be ripening some pretty good fruit for making good wine this fall.
So what are some of your plans in the future? Are you just kind of getting settled first and doing some evaluation, or do you already have some ideas?
Well, you know, I, as I've told a lot of people, I'll never be able to come in and kind of replace my parents in terms of my father's drive and interest in the property. And as my stepmother says, she's mother superior. She runs the show. But I think what I'm going to do is come in and try to enhance what's been going on at Avicella. Maybe potentially plant a little bit more of the certain varieties that we really do well with, and look to just continue our sustainability efforts, both working with Wildlife Safari, the conservation areas that we have on our property, and just looking at making the property a little bit more holistic, sustainable-wise.
Now, you, in fact, from... I just remembered this. One of the times I was out tasting at Avicella, and I actually heard Wildlife Safari animals. I think this was getting close to dusk.
Yeah, you can get, there's a place on the hill there. If you get there at the right time, you can hear the lions roar. You can actually see some parts of the Wildlife Safari just from the property.
Now, are there points where you border with Safari?
No, we don't. We don't border with them, but we're fairly close. I would say within a 1,000, 1,500 feet or so.
Wow. You've got a great property there, and talk about that property. Tell us more about it.
Sure. The property is a little over 450 acres of rolling savanna, oak savanna landscapes, and it was a old homestead. Cattle were run on it for many years, and we've worked to plant the areas that we thought were most suitable for growing grapes. We also had the old homestead still, not the actual building, but the area around the homestead is still there, and we've recovered some old grapevines that were planted there back in the 1800s that we're doing some things with. Plus, there's some heritage apple and pear trees there that we're looking to do some things with, too.
How would you describe the core values of Avicella?
Well, really looking at being very scientifically sound, using the best science we can to better understand how we can grow our grapes the best we possibly can, to be sustainable as we can as well, relatively speaking to that environment, and then also being really in tune with our consumers through having a really sound employee staff too. We want to be able to be sustainable across all the segments of our business.
So Tempranillo is really what put Avicella on the map, and it was intriguing to hear those stories, and I've read some things along the way about how quickly Avicella's Tempranillo started picking up awards when a year or two earlier people were still telling your father, yeah, that won't work.
Well, you know, it's. I think he had the right idea. He came with the right design on the property, and then he had a lot of passion for it. He was the early winemaker. We've had a longstanding winemaker, Andrew Wenzel, there now, and he does a great job carrying on that tradition. But I think the number one thing is we grow really good fruit. And when you're in a state winery and you're able to control everything from the ground through the plant to the winemaking to the bottle, I think you can do a better job, especially if you're doing it in a scientifically sound way that like we are.
One of the fascinating things for me to watch, talking to a lot of winemakers, grape growers in the area, is the fact that some, like Avicella, are definitely hooked in on being estate, while some others are less concerned about that.
Yeah, I think it's really just all a perspective on how you want to run the business. And, you know, growing grapes is a lot of work, but you have so much more control over the quality of the fruit when you do grow your own grapes. You can be successful in the other model where you're buying fruit from growers, but we've decided to go the path of being estate grown, estate bottled, so that we're much more focused on being able to go from one end to the other in terms of our production.
So how many staff do you have at Abbasella?
Roughly 20 between the vineyard and winery that are either full-time or close to full-time. And then seasonally, we hire quite a few people that help, whether it be pruning or harvesting or bottling, those kind of things.
Now, you've talked about this research, your work in climatology. Researchers have always seemed to me to be very serious people, and they can just pore over data for hours on end. But do you have fun with it, too?
Oh, I do. I've told a lot of people this, that sometimes when I get real frustrated with things, I actually can dig into data and do some programming, statistical or otherwise programming, and that tends to calm me down a little bit. I don't know why or how, but it works, and I enjoy doing it.
Was it hard to leave higher education after all that time of teaching folks directly and then seeing where they took that information and where their paths went?
You know, there maybe a little bit, but you know what? Being in this business, the wine industry is really still all about education. And I really do plan on being a person that can be there for the consumers and be able to educate them on what we're doing and how we're going about doing it. Plus the employees, it's really important for us to all be very in tune with what's going on out there in the world. So my connection to the scientific world in growing grapes and making wine will help, I think, all of our employees be better at what they do, whether it's in the vineyard or the winery.
A few years ago, I came out for something that Earl had invited me to, where they did a blind bottle tasting. And that was a fascinating experience. And he talked about how important it was to not only evaluate your own product, but compare it to what came from other places.
Sure, and we do a little bit of that still today. I mean, I think it's really important to sit down with the employees and take a variety that we grow, like Tempranillo or Albarino, and then compare that with that same variety being produced in benchmark regions and looking at how different producers are making the wine so that we can say, oh, this is how we stack up against them, but also with others in terms of that production framework.
And, of course, all the other places, you're dealing with different geographic elements and temperatures and all that.
Sure. So it's really understanding kind of when we do those kind of blind comparisons, then we go back and we say, okay, this wine came from Australia or France or wherever it may be, and we try to understand what is the weather or climate there that differentiates them compared to what we have at Abbasella.
So do you have a favorite varietal?
That's a hard call.
It's probably like asking you when you were a chef what your favorite meal was.
Yeah, I go all over the board. I can tell you what I like. I like a white wine to wash the day away and a red wine to start the night. So those are the two things I do. And I think experimenting across wines that you drink is really important, because then that gives you a palate to be able to understand how those varieties are different in the bottle.
And do you think some people get stuck in a rut sometimes by often drinking just the same varietal?
Yeah, I think we have a tendency to. It's just like going to the grocery store. You buy the same type of milk you've been buying for years. And I think it's worthwhile to venture out a little bit, and especially with wine, because how it pairs with food differently, but also how it can be just slightly different from a different region. I think it's worthwhile. And that expands your brain when you're doing those kind of tastings.
How well have you gotten to know some of the other folks in the industry here locally?
I've known the industry pretty well for a long time. Part of my science in the Oregon wine industry has been helping people within the Umpqua and the Rogue Valley and the whole state better understand what their weather and climate conditions are and how varieties ripen within their areas. So I've been doing research in this area since late 1990s. So I don't know everybody, but I know quite a few of the people that have been around a long time.
I've been told along the way that you've really got to take the science and the art and kind of mix them together.
Oh, you definitely do. I mean, this concept of terroir is all about art and science, and I think it's that may be one of the things that really got me interested in studying viticulture and wine production was that it's not just simply one thing. It's gastronomy, it's art, it's biology, it's chemistry, it's economics, it's geography. There's just so many beautiful things there.
Dr. Greg Jones, CEO of Avicella Winery and Vineyards, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping